As announced before, the reading this morning is from Genesis 2, the story of creation. And then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." And so out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as a partner. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." The word of the Lord. I apologize. I think it's the grape juice that does it to my vocal cords. It'll clear up, hopefully. This is a story that certainly has a history. And one of the things to recognize, first of all, is that there are two Genesis creation stories, chapter 1 and chapter 2, obviously written by two different people and obviously having two different connotations. The first, creation from nothing. The second, the creation as we have heard it. Obviously, the second person who is writing this is doing something more than just saying God created. He is obviously, and I say he because they were all he's who were writing, and unfortunately, as bad as that is from our perspective, we can only say that's the way it was. So we move on from there. But he's writing from male perspective, obviously, and in his culture, women were considered to be really ownership. They were property, and so you have this idea that when he's talking about perhaps explaining how God created male and female, how come there are two different genders, this was his explanation about being gendered. God created the genders. And so we have male and female. Unfortunately, in his mind, all of it was dependent on the male. The male was first, and the woman was second. Interestingly, because of the issues that are raised by that simple statement, going from Darwinism all the way to, I want to say, postmodernism, where there are translations, retranslations of this passage to accommodate for that misunderstanding that has come out of this, where woman is created first and man is created from the woman. I don't know how that addresses the issue, but anyway, they did that, and you can read that version of the story if you choose. I think what's really interesting about this passage and why I decided I would spend a little bit of time on it, and it's going to be short. We've been talking about taking things from a different perspective, how important it is to remove ourselves from where we always stand, from where we always appreciate the world around us, to begin to see it from a different perspective, not to necessarily foster change, but in order to understand more fully the reality. So in the last couple of weeks, we suggested, you know, all the things that we look around the world and see, and the disasters, we need to remember that these are people. Now, there were 35 people were drowned, and there's 28 missing on a ship. People. They're not just people out there. They're people. They're real, real people. And unfortunately, until we have something like the tragedy in Oregon, where the family speaks afterwards and reminds us that, yes, this is my daughter, or that was my son, excuse me, and it's a huge loss. So many times, if you're like me, you read the paper, you look at the latest tragedy, and you go, "Oh my God," and turn the page. And that seems to be something that we are often doing. Excuse me. We are doing too often because we become numb in many ways to the tragedies that we have to face every day. This particular passage asks us to remove ourselves from all the issues that we come from and all the politics and all the thoughts and all the isms that we have and begin to perceive perhaps from God's perspective. Now, this man who wrote this did not necessarily have God's perspective. But what he does offer us is a moment, just a moment, to recognize that we all come from the same place. Interestingly, the men that balk at any kind of argument against being the first and she's second to us, it's interesting. I always check my facts with my local professional in psychiatry, sociology, and medicine. And I checked this little fact to make sure I was not telling a falsehood. I learned this a long time ago, but you know your mind. So I checked. And it is true that from the time we are conceived and conception develops, starts a development process into a human person at whatever level, we're not going to go there, but when it starts to develop in the earliest stages and even on into the pregnancy, we are all female. How's that, guys? Science. We are all female. And that's nothing to raise banners about and cause a war over, but simply to remind us that we all come from the same place. Genetically, a study was done a few years ago that kind of shook the earth when they traced the one genetic trait back to its origin of all the people in the world, and they found out that trait is found in Africa. So we're all Africans. We really are all one people. And it's hard to live as one people. We can sing about community and we can sing about all this stuff, but I realize it's hard for me as it is for you to look at some of the things in the world and say, yeah, it's people, and yeah, that's my brother, and yeah, that's my sister. Some of it is shameful, some of it is horrible. But for a moment, just for a moment, without making a judgment about people's behavior, without psychoanalyzing and finding out what's wrong with them, without looking at how they break the law and how they violate other people even, just for a moment, here in this place, can we look at something that I think was revelatory, whether the man intended it or not, about those of us who believe in God? That at last you are bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. We belong together. We were made that way, and all the complexities of civilizations that have divided us, that aside, for a moment, let us look at the people of this world and with one eye, even if you have to close the other eye, at least with one eye, recognize that we are all brothers and sisters. You know, to put this in perspective, this morning in the Waterbury paper, how could I confuse Waterbury and Washington? But in the Waterbury paper, there's an article, an editorial by George Will, and I think it's called Our Place in the Universe. Just take a glance at it, but one simple thing, what he's trying to say in there, where you put religion and science aside, and just look at the vastness of the universe. I read something this morning that blew my mind. I had to read it to Lou. There is a planet that is 67 light years away, which means it's 350 million miles away. There's a planet that has constant winds of 4,000 miles an hour, and it rains liquid glass. 350 trillion miles away, there is that planet. And then he says, if you look up at the sky through a straw, in that little circle that you can see, there are 10,000 galaxies. Galaxies, that's Milky Ways. There's 10,000 in that little bit. And how come it's not cluttered up there, is his question. But to give us a sense of reality in that whole vastness, we don't even exist. And look how we have created a world where we are the center of the universe. When Jesus did his Last Supper, I want to say that in the back of his mind, if he really was trying to see the world as God sees it, was exactly this. That in the very beginning, however it took place, but for those of us who believe, God somehow was a part of the making of this whole thing. Maybe he snapped his finger and that was the Big Bang, I don't know. But Jesus sat at that table and he said, God and you are one. We always leave it up to ourselves to say Jesus is God and therefore that's how he was one, but we're not. He said, you and God are one. And whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember that. Remember that we are bone of God's bone and we are flesh of God's flesh. And if there's something for us to take, not only to the table next time, but from the table every time and every day of our lives, if we could take 1 second, just 1 second out of our day, and say out loud to the world around us, you are bone of my bone. You are flesh of my flesh. And for 1 second, realize whatever you're going to realize. How does that hit you? How does it change your worldview? How might it offer you other options in your life? So take the word of the Lord, I guess, and let us grow in respect and love for each other, in spite of all the stuff that separates us. Amen.